To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. You can find my stuff online at mikeluoma.com or glowinthedarkradio.com. You can find me on Facebook that way too, after the .com, /Mike Luoma, M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. Or Glow in the Dark Radio, there's a Glow in the Dark Radio Facebook page too. And I'm on Twitter, say hi on Twitter. Twitter.com/Mike Luoma, M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. I have a mailing list too if you want to stay up to date on what's happening with my books. Well, fairly up to date. This summer I've been a little slack, but there will be another one soon. Join the mailing list by going to any of my sites, either glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, or go to the Facebook page. You'll see there's a sign-up button right at the top. Join the mailing list and you get the exclusive Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It includes the Not Available Anywhere Else short story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine, plus a whole bunch of preview things you can't find anywhere else. An excerpt from the Vatican Assassin graphic novel, black and white previews of some of the new comics I have coming out. It's all in the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. Not so much a guide as it is just kind of a compilation of cool stuff. And again, it's exclusive to the mailing list. You can only get it when you join the mailing list. We're going to hear two chapters of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest this week on Glow in the Dark Radio. Over a half an hour of story on this episode. You see, I was on the road for my day job last week. Went out to Boulder, Colorado, and saw a ton of bands at the AAA Music Conference. It's Adult Album Alternative, or Adult Artist Alternative. However you want to call it. It's the format that my radio station, The Point, is part of. And you can check that out at pointfm.com. You can check out our station. I'm on the air every day, weekdays, 10 to 3. And we do stream live from that site. So yeah, I was out in Colorado checking out bands last week. So there was no show last week. And next week I'm at the Vermont Comic Con. More on that in just a minute. But that means there will not be a show next week. So I thought, yeah, why not give you two chapters in this episode? Trying to make up for it. So we're going to hear chapters 25 and 26 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi Jones is recuperating from his encounter with the giant, ancient ghost ship. Except one of the doctors, supposedly trying to figure out what's happened to Alibi, instead tried to kill him. Alibi was able to survive that attack. But now a new problem has arisen. Alibi was raised by his Aunt Anita after his mother killed his father. But now someone has freed Alibi's mother from her incarceration in an institution. Members of a religious cult that she's a part of evidently did this. So now, she got in touch with Alibi, but he cut her off and ended the communication. Unfortunately, it now appears she's being interviewed on the news as the true mother of the notorious planet killer Alibi Jones. So we'll pick things up there in Chapter 25 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. And then we'll get into chapter 26, too, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of news. I've got a new comic book coming out this week. Introducing Red Hot, issue number 3. It'll be out at Indie Planet and Drive-Thru Comics, for sure. Coming soon to Comixology. And the graphic novel collecting all three, because it is issue 3 of 3 of the miniseries, the graphic novel will be out soon after in print from Indie Planet. But again, that's this coming Wednesday, August 24th, the new comic book comes out. And the first place you'll be able to pick it up will be the Vermont Comic Con. That's this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, August 27th and 28th. Goes 10 to 7 on Saturday and Sunday from 10 till 5. It's at the Sheraton Hotel and Conference Center in Burlington. I'm going to be at table L78, sharing that table with Matthew and Therese Forsyth. And I'm also on a panel this year, Sunday, 4 o'clock. I'll be talking about creators, resources, and that includes comic book laws. So it's a creators resource panel featuring comic book laws. So that's Vermont Comic Con. That's what I'll be up to this coming weekend. That does it for news this week. Up next, I've got Chapter 25 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Now, here's Chapter 25 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
An interview with the mother of the infamous Alibi Jones on Newsnight. The screen cut to an image of Alibi's mother Ruth, sitting, staring into space, looking much as she did earlier when she'd called Alibi. "Thank you for joining us tonight, Ruth," the announcer said.
"Thank you, John. I was surprised you wanted to speak to me," Ruth said.
"Well, many people think of Alibi Jones as the son of former Prime Rep Anita Capituna, but she's really his foster mother, in a way, isn't she?"
"I guess," Ruth said. "I don't know her. I have heard that she raised my son."
"Indeed," the announcer said. "So, you are the real mother, the biological mother of Alibi Jones, then?"
"Well, yes," she said. "His father, B.C., needed an alibi. That night, I was his alibi. And when his son was born, I named him Alibi."
"But you killed him, didn't you?" the announcer asked.
"Not my son, no," she said.
"You killed Bernard Kempion."
She tried to respond. She stopped answering and started to cry as she blinked at the screen.
"I'm sorry, Ruth," the announcer said.
"It's hard for me to talk about that," she said.
"A lot of people think of Bernard Kempion as a war hero," the announcer said. "But we also know B.C. was an assassin. You've killed too. Maybe it's no surprise your son is a mass murderer as well."
Ruth's eyes grew wide at the surprise provocation. "He's no murderer. He's a... she said, trying to find the word. "He's a mediator. He mediates. Thoth was a mediator. Hermes was a mediator. And they both were psychopomps. They would lead the dead to the afterlife. It's hermetic knowledge. Gnosis, you know, like Hermes Trismegistus. In some ways, he's brought me back from the dead. He brings his mother back from the dead, like a reverse psychopomp."
The audio faded as Ruth continued ranting. The announcer's voiceover began to drown out her words. "Ruth Jones, the actual mother of Alibi Jones," the announcer intoned. "Like mother, like son? You be the judge. This is Newsnight. I'm John..."
Alibi shut off the feed. "Her name isn't Jones, you morons. It's Kim," Alibi said, talking back to the now-dead Calm. "Jones is mine, precisely because I didn't want her last name. Or Kempion's. Man, the media always gets everything wrong."
Alibi looked through more of the search results on his mother. She didn't seem to have given any other interviews today, thank God. At some point during his reading, he drifted off to sleep and floated among the stars. As he slept a few nights later, Alibi found himself in the midst of the gases of a dying star, as he once again floated with the great ship through another nebula.
"We Rhodei are ancient and powerful, and yet now we mostly sleep,"
the voice of the oneness said in Alibi's mind.
"We have seen so much. After the Dendon, We were symbiotes with the Sharpon. A oneness also gone. Long gone now.
The tone shifted from glowing nostalgia to sharp and alert.
You must wake up, Alibi Jones.
Alibi awoke. He was lying in his hospital bed, but his sheet and blanket had been stripped off, and he was surrounded by surgical equipment. They were working on his leg, cutting into his tissues, trying to surgically remove the Rodet symbiote.
What are you doing? Alibi asked. I didn't give my permission for this.
Alibi Jones, why is he awake? The surgeon asked.
The new cyborg specialist?
Dr. Curry stood nearby. He looked at Alibi, confused.
Curry! Alibi shouted. What are you doing?
The anesthesiologist placed the mask over Alibi's face, forcing him back into unconsciousness. Alibi woke up again. It was dark. He was alone in his room.
Was that a dream?
He looked down at his leg.
New dressings? Doesn't mean anything.
He called up the lights and took a closer look. There was some new work, but the alien leg was still in place. They hadn't been able to remove it, or even penetrate it by the look of things. The door opened.
Alibi?
Krish said, as he poked his head into the hospital room.
Krish!
Alibi said. He lost his temper.
What the fuck?
Krish walked into the room, waving his arms.
I am very sorry that happened that way, Krish said. You were already asleep when Dr. Van arrived. We thought we'd ease you into anesthetic and do the work while disturbing you as little as possible.
Didn't work that way, Alibi said.
Again, Krish said, very sorry about that. You were under a great deal of anesthesia. We were all quite surprised when you surfaced.
The leg might have had something to do with that, Alibi said.
That was our guess as well, Krish said.
You didn't get too far with it, though, huh?
Alibi looked down at his alien leg.
We didn't want you dead, Krish said. It's a different tech than we're used to, integrated into your biology in a way we don't understand. Any attempt to remove or tamper with it affected your vitals. We couldn't go too far.
Well, Alibi said, thank you for that. Krish darkened.
You really should thank me, Krish said. There seemed to be some question on Doctors Van and Curry's minds as to whether your survival was the priority. I made sure it was.
Damn, Alibi said. People are really turning against me here. Have turned against me. Guess out on the depot fringe I'm kind of insulated from it. Nobody out there cares that much.
Nobody would care here, except for Constantine and his bunch, Krish said. Your aunt keeps trying to work with them, but I don't trust them. She's running an errand for Constantine's people right now, though I'm not supposed to know that. She said it would be fairly easy this time.
Easy? Hope so, Alibi said. I'm sure Aunt Anita knows what she's doing.
I hope you're right, Krish said. But, with her gone, I'm not sure you are safe here on Ceres. Just little old me protecting you from the circling Dr. Vultures.
No? Alibi shook his head. What makes you think I'm not safe, the midnight surgery or the murder attempt? I'm sure tired of waking up to nasty surprises.
It's not just those obvious things, Krish said. I tried to have you released today. We couldn't do anything with your leg, and you seem fine to me, so I told them we should release you, with orders to check back in for periodical evaluation, once a month.
Alibi sat up in bed. You tried? He asked Krish.
I did, Krish said. But they vetoed me. Said we needed to keep you here on Ceres longer, for more observation. I do not like it.
Wonder if the guard on my door is there to protect me or keep tabs on me, Alibi said. Gotta get out of here. This isn't good, Krish.
I know, Krish said. There is now more security personnel on this wing of the hospital than there was last week. More than Dr. Bialy's activities merited, I think. That I do not like either.
Am I a prisoner, Krish? Alibi asked.
Not that I've been told, Krish said. But they do not seem to want you to leave.
Alibi looked at the walls of his hospital room.
Suddenly, they seem a little closer.
More like cell walls. I hope you do not mind, Alibi, but, Krish said, I took the liberty of contacting your base. Your Darkor co-pilot cat was quite nice, but refused to come here to pick you up. Alibi winced. There was some pain with his leg. It had been fine before. Smart, Alibi said. We've been establishing the cruiser as a cargo hauler. Would kind of blow its cover to have it blaze in here and pick me up. Plus, it wouldn't exactly be authorized. Ah, Krish said. That does make sense. At any rate, I explained your situation here to him as best I could. Kat said he and Emily will work on finding a way to help you leave Ceres. Great, Alibi said. Thanks, Krish. I don't know what they plan to do, Krish said. But I haven't given up trying either. Thank you. At the very least, get out of bed, Krish said. I can give you my permission for that small freedom. Head to the spa. Get some rehab going. I can't send you home, but I can let you out of this little box. Thanks, Krish, Alibi said.
It will be good to get moving again.
Alibi returned from the gym to his hospital room.
Finally starting to feel like myself again. Took a week. I'm getting old. Gonna be 30 soon. Couple years.
He looked at the comm. No messages. His aunt hadn't returned any calls. He hadn't heard anything from her in over 2 weeks now. His crew hadn't been in touch either. But they might not want to be on record getting in touch with him if they were trying to figure out how to get him off Ceres.
Can't wait to get back to the Hornet's Nest. Get off of Ceres and away from the Solar Alliance.
He tried his aunt again. His call was rerouted to Ceres Central Safe Command. Can I help you? The safe trooper answered. This is Alibi Jones. I'm trying to reach my aunt Anita. Anita Capituna? Oh, hold on, the trooper said. She's been reported as missing. I'm sorry.
What do you mean, missing?
The officer on the comm screen tried to be sympathetic and patient. He smiled an awkward smile before he continued. I'm sorry, Mediator Jones, he said, but we simply don't know any more than that. Her ship was due back last night, but she hasn't arrived on Ceres yet. There's no report of her ship in the Sol system. We'll keep you posted, I promise.
This can't be good. Where is she? Where did her mission take her?
Thank you. Jones out.
Missing?
Alibi called Krish. He'd mentioned Anita's trip to Alibi.
Maybe Krish is in on her mission.
Sorry, Alibi. The scientist didn't know much more than what he'd already told Alibi. It wasn't something for the project, I don't think. Though it might have been related, Krish said. She was going off the grid, I do know that. He shook his head. We rely far too much for our long-range communications on the subspace comm grid left to us by the Eldred and the Ancient Enemy. As we try to go further than their former reach, we must develop our own extensions to their systems, or come up with a new one of our own. So she's not reachable by wand, in other words? Alibi asked. Not for a while now, no, Krish said. And she was on official safe business. Yes, so she told me, Krish said. Some governmental trip of some kind. I don't like this, Alibi said. It stinks. Well, even if she was delayed because of something very non-threatening, she still would not be able to easily let us know, Alibi, Krish pointed out, being off-grid. You said this was something out of the Prime Rep's office, Alibi said. He'd love to get her out of the picture. I don't trust Constantine. Nor should you, given how he's attacked you personally, and kept you here on Ceres, it seems, Krish said. But he has been very respectful towards Anita. Only because he has to be, Alibi said, publicly. But he's been undermining her old authority behind the scenes ever since he took over. I hope you are just being paranoid, Alibi, Krish said. Me too, Krish, Alibi said. Me too. Alibi, there is something else, Krish said. An idea I've had. You've been going to the spa, correct? To the gym? Alibi said. Yeah, just got back from there. Do you not find it dull? lacking? To jog on a treadmill? Huh? Alibi said, puzzled. Would it not be better to jog around the station? Krish asked. Perhaps a circuit around the perimeter. Really stretch your leg.
What is he getting at?
Sure, that sounds like it would be better, Alibi said. Good, Krish said. I'll suggest it to the other doctors. I've got a route in mind if you're interested. My old route, the one I used to jog, about 2K.
I don't think Krish has ever jogged a day in his life. He's up to something. Good.
That would be great, Krish, Alibi said. Thanks. I'll stop by with the route. Talk to you later, Alibi, Krish said. He signed off.
What? Does he want me to jog off the station?
Krish showed up at Alibi's room after dinner that night. And then the route takes you through the port right here, Krish said, as he showed Alibi the map he'd plotted. Up to this point, the perimeter hallways and corridors, Krish suggested, were plain and useless. But by having Alibi jog the station's outer perimeter, he'd have to run through a part of the port, no matter the route.
Ah, Alibi said. Finally.
Well, you don't want to look obvious, Krish said. That's why it's a jogging route. You'll run it a few times, once a day, before we actually use it.
Makes sense.
You should be fine running through this part of the port. It's a cargo area, but not a high security zone, Krish said. Just be sure to stay on the marked pedestrian path as you jog there. And this is where you exit the port, Krish said, pointing out a connecting corridor opposite the side of the port area from where Alibi would be entering. At least until your last run through there. Krish outlined the rest of the loop he'd mapped out, then transferred the info to Alibi's wand. Start running the route, Krish said. Once you've done it for about a week, we'll meet again, and I'll have a plan for your exit ready to go.
So there isn't one yet? Alibi asked.
Krish shook his head. No, not entirely. Not yet, Krish said.
Okay, Alibi said. He couldn't hide the disappointment from his tone.
Some things are in the works, Krish said. You're not supposed to be a prisoner here.
No, Alibi said. I'm not. I just can't leave.
No, Krish admitted. You are still under medical observation. But I have seen enough of you.
Ha ha! He laughed. Alibi smiled.
Thanks for trying, Krish, Alibi said. The next morning, Alibi threw on a jogging suit and started out the door of his hospital room. As he began jogging down the corridor, he saw a safe security guard ahead of him nod at someone behind Alibi.
Off to the gym?
The guard asked, moving to stand slightly in Alibi's way. Alibi jogged around him.
Nah, he said. Doc's recommended I run. Gonna jog around the station.
Alibi jogged past the man, dodging as the guard tried to stand in front of him.
Sorry,
Alibi called back. He jogged ahead, out of the wing he was staying in. As Alibi ran, he heard heavy footsteps behind him. The safe security guard who'd tried to stand in his way came running up. Alibi stopped and turned around. Is there a problem? Alibi asked. The man caught his breath.
Nope, the guard said. Thought I'd jog with you, if you don't mind.
Really?
Well, this is rich.
You're not dressed for a run, Alibi continued. The guard looked down at his standard-issue safe uniform jumpsuit and boots.
No? He asked. Had to run in these plenty of times in boot camp. When I saw you were going to really run, not head to the gym, thought I'd follow. I was just going off duty anyway.
Really? Okay, fine, Alibi said. He turned back and began running Krish's route, off towards the perimeter of Ceres Central, the safe security guard jogging a few steps behind.
That was Chapter 25 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Now, here's Chapter 26 on Glow in the Dark Radio.
After a minute or so of jogging, Alibi reached an intersecting corridor and stopped to take out his wand to check the route. The guard nearly ran into him.
Sorry, the guard said, panting a little. Just trying to figure out which way the doc is sending me, Alibi said. There we go. Alibi jogged down the right corridor, his shadow following a short distance back. The route turned out to be kind of scenic, taking Alibi through parts of the station new to him, or not so new but forgotten. Alibi opened a door onto a corridor that ran along the outer wall of the station, and discovered the upper wall and ceiling were transparent. He could see the stars and the surface of Ceres outside, and remembered he used to come here when he was a kid growing up.
"Why'd you stop?" the guard asked.
"Sorry," Alibi said. "Just had a sort of flashback. Used to come here to look at the stars." The guard looked up past Alibi.
"Huh."
Alibi kept looking up, thinking back to more innocent times.
We gonna keep going?" the guard verbally prodded.
"Yeah," Alibi answered. He looked back down. The safe security guard was sweating in his uniform, overdressed for a jog. "I can see you're enjoying it," Alibi said. He turned back to the corridor under the stars and ran ahead, as the guard grunted and began to run behind him again. The sealed door at the corridor's end opened onto the observation deck over the port. "Huh," Alibi was surprised. He got out his wand as he waited, holding the door for the guard as he caught up. Alibi looked at Krish's map.
"We're going in here?" the guard asked.
"I guess," Alibi said, double-checking the doc's map now.
"Yep, just for a little bit."
After a quick jog to another exit, Krish's route led them out of the observation deck to a series of ramps that took them down to the cargo level, the whole time keeping them just outside of the port's higher security zone. The next sealed door opened on an expansive open space, busy with cargo containers of different dimensions moving around on anti-grav pallets driven by operators of various races.
"We're crossing the cargo interchange?" the guard asked. "Who came up with this route?"
"Dr. Krishnavarti," Alibi said. "He told me he used to run it."
"Maybe it was different then," the guard said. "I've seen that guy. Doesn't look like he runs much these days."
"He said to be sure to stay on the pedestrian path through here," Alibi said. He consulted the wand. The path ran around the outer edge of the interchange space, starting over on their right. "This way." Alibi led his new friend around the cargo space's perimeter, out another sealed door, and back up another series of ramps to a second observation deck, showing off the Ceres Central port's symmetrical design. The deck on this side had been altered, however, shortened, much of it turned into ship's berths to meet increased demand when the station had proven popular. A security gate blocked access to that section a short distance past the door Alibi and his shadow used to leave the observation area. As on the port's other side, it was off the deck and onto another stellar station perimeter corridor, whose transparent top half allowed the runners to see out across the short plateau around them and into deep space. The stars out here didn't twinkle, but they did sometimes blink out for a second or two, as some distant asteroid temporarily eclipsed them.
"Kind of pretty out here," the guard said. "Didn't know they had these hallways like this."
"I grew up here," Alibi said. "But I forgot about them. Didn't remember till I opened the door on the other side and looked up."
"The doors are the only drawback," the guard said. "Hate to keep breaking up the run."
"Kind of a necessary evil running on a space station, I figure. Unless you're on a treadmill," Alibi said. He looked at the wand. "The good news is, on this side, this observation corridor is about twice as long as over on the other side. Won't hit a door quite as soon." The guard grunted a laugh as he kept up behind Alibi. "Hey, how long is this run?"
2K, Krish said, Alibi told him.
"A little bit longer."
"Uh-huh," he said, winded. "How's your leg?"
Alibi hadn't thought about the Roday leg as they ran. Turning his attention to it made it throb and pinch a little, as if Alibi's awareness stirred it somehow. "It's okay, unless I think about it," Alibi said.
"Oh," the guard said, chagrined. "Sorry."
"Nah, don't worry about it," Alibi said. "You couldn't know that." The two men jogged the rest of the distance in silence. Another safe security guard was on post outside Alibi's hospital room when they returned. Alibi turned back to his running companion and extended his hand.
"Well, you know me. I'm Alibi Jones. What's your name, man?"
Safe Security Officer Jim Cooper, he said, shaking Alibi's hand.
Coop.
Nice to meet you, Coop, Alibi said. Officer Cooper.
Thanks for the run, the guard said. A surprise workout. Thanks for letting me go with you.
That's what just happened, is it?
Didn't seem like it was optional, Alibi said. He regretted it. Cooper's mood shifted, darkened.
Look, the guard said, plenty of us in the safe know you're getting worked over hard by the new government because of Kismet. But accident or not, a lot of people blame you for their dead relatives there. You might not be worried about you going on a run, Alibi Jones, but we in security are. Just trying to keep you safe, whether you like it or not.
Thanks, Alibi said. Good run, Coop.
Alibi turned and nodded at the other safe security officer as he walked past the guard back into his room. He mulled over the route as he lingered in the refresher, wondering where Krish was thinking he'd leave the path and the station. As he let vibrations and air currents whisk him clean, his skin began to tingle, and he knew he'd been in almost too long. He stopped the refresher.
Must be something to do with that cargo area. But how am I going to get from there through port security? Krish better come up with something good.
When Alibi stepped out of the door of his hospital room the next day, the safe security guard on duty was someone new he hadn't seen before. She glared at him briefly, then looked away to stare ahead into space and ignore him.
I'm off, Alibi said to her. Ready for a run?
I sure am, someone said from up the hallway. Officer Cooper was leaning against the wall, stretching his quads a short distance down the hall, dressed in a runner's jumpsuit and sneakers.
Didn't stretch first yesterday, Cooper said. Paying for it.
You again, huh? Alibi said.
Why not? Cooper answered. Somebody should, and I might as well get in better shape. You can get flabby on these station gigs way too easily.
Okay, then, Alibi said. You remember the way?
Sort of, the guard said.
Me too, Alibi said. He pulled his wand from his runner's pouch he wore around his waist and called up Krish's map. Got this just in case. Alibi tucked the wand away and began jogging along the now semi-familiar route, Officer Cooper close behind.
So very sure this protection is for my own good.
He looked back at Officer Cooper. The guard waved at him.
This Cooper guy may have good intentions. Someone at his level wouldn't know I was being held against my will, apparently. Might not, anyway. If the intent wasn't shared.
The run was easier the second time through the route, as both men sort of knew where they were going. They kept at it. Alibi had to give Coop credit for stubborn stick-to-itiveness. He showed up to run with him every day for the next 7.
Shit. I don't even want to keep doing this. Hope Krish has something for me soon. Some things.
Alibi!
On their 8th day jogging the path, Krish flagged them down as he and Officer Cooper were running past.
Hey, Krish! How goes the running? Krish asked.
Pretty well, Alibi said.
Hey! Cooper interrupted. Isn't this the guy who mapped this course for you?
Alibi looked at Cooper and nodded. He turned back to Krish.
This is Officer Cooper, Krish. He's been running with me. Coop, this is Dr. Krishnaverdi, better known as Krish.
Krish extended his hand. Cooper took it and shook it.
I'm better known as Coop. Nice to meet you, Krish. He smiled. This is a pretty good course. You used to run it, huh?
Long ago, Krish said. I hardly remember it. But I had the map. And when we decided Alibi needed the exercise, we thought this would get him moving. Motivate him.
Seems to be working, Cooper said.
So far, so good, Alibi said.
Alibi, can you stop by my office later? Krish asked. I want to ask you some questions about your leg, how it's reacting to the running. The other doctors are expressing concerns with your jogging routine.
Sure, Krish, Alibi said. Seems okay, though.
Well, we'll make it official. Later, then?
Krish said.
Sure. Later, Krish said. Nice to meet you, Officer Coop.
Krish turned and left the other two standing in the hallway. Alibi shrugged and started to jog again.
Cooper caught up.
What's he a doctor of?
Cooper asked Alibi.
You know? Alibi said. I have no idea. He laughed. He's an old family friend, known him my whole life, and he's always seemed to know everything.
Really smart, huh?
Yeah, Alibi said. He's an expert on time travel, but I think he might be a doctor of alien technology, whatever they call that. He knows a lot about the tech from other races. That's why he's here working on my leg.
I'm not supposed to know about your leg, Cooper said. Need to know.
I told you about it last week, Alibi said, confused.
Yeah, and when my superiors found out I knew, I got in trouble, Cooper said. Nothing big, but now I don't know about your leg.
Gotcha, Alibi said. The two ran through the observation deck and down the ramps to the lower cargo handling area in silence. Alibi held the door open for Cooper as they entered the wide open space. Sorry if I got you in trouble, Alibi said. Should have thought about that. It's all been pretty top secret.
Not to worry, Cooper said. Wasn't even going to bring it up, just can't let you tell me anything else.
Uh-huh, Alibi said. Gotcha. They made the rest of the run in silence.
See you tomorrow,
Cooper said, as they reached Alibi's hospital room. Yeah, Alibi said, breathing a little heavy. Good run.
Yeah, the officer jogged off, hardly winded.
Alibi laughed. And he said he was getting flabby, Alibi said to himself. Makes me look bad. Alibi hit the refresher in the hospital room and cleaned up after the run. Throwing on a fresh jumpsuit, he made his way over to Krish's borrowed lab and office.
Ah, Alibi! Good! Krish said, as Alibi walked in.
Alibi felt hair stand up on end, all over his body for a brief second.
Tingles, eh? Force field, Krish said. Now, we can talk.
Precautions? Alibi looked around the room, as if he'd be able to see the bugs.
Nothing pre about it, Krish said. Pure caution. I don't trust this office. Ceres Central is not what it used to be. That man Constantine seems to be moving his own people into place here, wherever he can. I am sure it is bugged, but right now his people can't see and hear us.
Yeah, about that, Alibi said. I really need to get out of here. Like, soon, Krish.
Yes, Alibi, you do, Krish agreed. The other two have gotten permission to attempt another amputation. It's scheduled for tomorrow night. I'm not supposed to tell you, of course.
The other two? The other doctors? Alibi asked. But that almost killed me.
Vaughn and Curry have been pushing for it all the same, Krish said, and some of the new blood at the project agreed. Of course, the local Ceres authorities had no problem with it.
Wait, Alibi said. Don't I have to give permission?
Evidently not. Not with this bunch, Krish said. I do not approve.
Damn.
That was Chapter 26 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. So Alibi is not all that fond of playing lab rat, so he is going to try to get out of there with the help of Krish. Try to get out of Ceres Central. We will see if he can escape from his rehab, basically. In Chapter 27 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up next time on Glow in the Dark Radio. And that'll be in 2 weeks, because next week, I'll be at the Vermont Comic Con all weekend. It's Saturday from 10 till 7, and Sunday from 10 till 5. Table L78, I'm sharing it with the Forsythes, Matt and Teresa. And I'll be on a panel Sunday at 4, right at the tail end of things, on creators' resources, including comic book laws. And my new comic book comes out this week, introducing Red Hot number 3. It's out this Wednesday. You'll be able to pick it up at the Vermont Comic Con. I'll have it at the table. It'll also be at Indie Planet and Drive Through Comics. And it's coming soon to Comixology. Part 3 of 3. So if you want to read the complete story, there it is. Complete in 3 issues. My miniseries, introducing Red Hot. And the graphic novel will be out shortly after. Like probably next weekend. That'll be available in print from Indie Planet. And that's going to do it for this week. Remember, if you want to find me online, go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. or look me up on Facebook or Twitter after there.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma. And you can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. Sign up for the mailing list at any of those places too. Get that exclusive free ebook of the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.